Welcome to Beach Grassroots, a monthly podcast highlighting nonprofits of the North Oregon and South Washington coastal region. This production is a collaboration with the Astoria Co-op's Change for Community program. You can learn more about Change for Community and the organizations it supports at astoria.coop. This month, we'll be speaking with Astoria International Film Festival. Through the local nonprofit World Arts Foundation, this film festival is celebrating its 18th year of showing independent films from the Northwest and around the world. This year, the Columbian Theater will host the film festival September 26th and 27th.
My name is Ron Craig. I'm an Oregonian. And from a historical perspective, people ask me how long have I been coming to Astoria. Well, I was a Boy Scout living in Portland, Oregon. I was here when I was about 12 years of age, working on my merit badge for fishing. So that was, probably my introduction. But I've always been able to go around the state, and so being here in Astoria. As far as overall, I am the executive director / founder and also filmmaker. I've done a number of films that deal with Oregon history and some things beyond that. But I've always been a curious sort of person, and the idea of knowing that film festivals were something to be able to put out there that people would really be interested in as far as some entertainment and an educational perspective. Yeah, it's a lot of fun. People ask me about the idea as far as it being an international film festival. And I say, is that boat out there, it's passing there, is that from Cleveland or where is that from? I said, international. And I said, it's just not, I'm a Yankee, I'm an American, the whole thing. But still, again, it has, for me, the perspective to be able to present people multi-language and as far as being able to see other people and what they're about as far as their culture. And independent films has always been my personal vehicle to be able to get the information out there. We've always tried to get local filmmakers involved. The idea of being able to have our story here, because our footprint here, once again, is Astoria, is just incredible. 1811, what the heck is that? Yeah, we've been around for a while. I'm not mired in history, but we all are part of history. And as far as knowing how to be able to present Astoria International Film Festival from a nonprofit perspective is that people here in Astoria from day one, 18 years, there are, places like, this place called the Co-op. They've been with me since day one as far as sponsors. And it's just, to be able to support, I was going on advertising as far as Fort Clatsop. They've been on board and, Fort George and things of that nature. And what we wanted to do is to be able to make it, accessible as far as people being around. And it's, like I say, from a nonprofit perspective, it doesn't matter if you're coming to the door and paying X dollars or whatever it is, or even providing certain, amenities that we have needed during the time frame. And so I think when you push it to the fact of nonprofit, I think it's almost like, for me, it's been kind of a different sort of perspective, because the profit for me is the fact that people walk away scratching their head, whoa, this is really an incredible film. And we try to, like I said, the idea of being international, whether we have, it's scripted as far as different languages and stuff, people still are very excited about it. As far as the location, we're at the Columbia. Yeah, it's where we're there. And once again, I keep going back to the historical thing. It's in a portion right on the river and everything. I think it's really great. We usually open up on a Friday. And typically we run one event on Friday. And it's just one event. And they're all short films. And so whether they're 10 minutes, 5 minutes, or, we have kind of a limit, no longer than maybe 15, 20 minutes, stuff like that. And there's a great bit of education and knowledge that as far as history and different perspectives from short films. And then on Saturday, about 6 o'clock, we open up. And then we do about 3 to 4 films. I would say overall, the films are typically no more than 2 hours. And to be able, those are independent as far as films are being able to secure to see that. And we also, at the same time, when we do the films, whether it's on a Friday shorts or it's on Saturday, we usually open the mics up so people want to have some sort of debate or discussion about it. And so we're not necessarily, you know, political, but it's, you know, art and politics and stuff like that. We don't limit people's direction one way or another, because we've done everything from, you know, James Baldwin films to as far as some of his things, which all of a sudden people have rediscovered James Baldwin. And I only use this as an example because we've gone quite a route as far as getting some of his things, because he was an incredible writer and stuff. But it's great. So for me personally, it's always been fun to be able to see people, you know, scratch their head as they walk out and stuff like that, because it's, we've worked with certain historical events. We did a thing a number of years ago as far as a Tuskegee Airman, people knowing who they were and stuff. And if they don't know who they are, I mean, for me, that's very gratifying to be able to do that. So it's great and fun. Whether it's, you know, Bob Marley, a number of years ago we did that. And it's, you know, from a perspective, as a, admit that I'm a boomer generation and stuff, as far as some of the people who touched us. I had a client that had come in, was in there to see the Bob Marley film. She had lost her son a number of years prior to that at a very relatively young age and stuff, and say maybe in his late 20s. And he was really just mired in Bob Marley's philosophical approach to life and how things are there. And she, once she saw that, she came out. She was in tears because she finally realized, because she didn't really grasp it as far as what Marley was about until she saw the film and just said, oh, I get it. And so to be able to have those sort of connections with people, I think for me is really important. As far as, you know, courses, as far as human rights, we do that and stuff. And I think a couple of times people have pointed, finger pointing as far as being political. Well, we all live in a political, you know, world, but at the same time, it's not being in favor of this way or that way. For us at the film festival is to be able to put the information out there. Because in between the film festivals, I lecture around the country, and people who have all of a sudden understood certain aspects of their own history that they didn't know about, and all of a sudden it's just like, whoa, and we're not making this up, we're just making it's available. And like I said, once again, it's not so much political. People can put a political handle on however they want to do it, but it's not going to stop us. We're just going to keep on going. We did, it was a hunger ward the year before last, and which dealt with some of the problems in the Middle East and stuff like that as far as children that were victimized. And it's just, there was one individual, she was about maybe about a couple of months ago, she came back to me, she said, that changed my perspective. And she got involved currently in helping people regionally be able to do that. And it wasn't that she was insensitive, it was just the fact that it just, you know, it was so graphic. And like I said, to be able to do that. And we all know that people a lot of times don't really, you know, they hear this or maybe somebody tells them about it. Once they see it and understand, it can make, you know, it's not a guarantee, but it helps them. And I think that's part of, you know, how what we want to do at the film festival is be able to have people open up and to be able to look at that. The independent films, stuff like that, to be able to pull it out. It's just, you know, for overall, it's gratifying, very gratifying. I lived abroad along for quite a bit of time, and that's where I finally first got hooked up with film festivals, because years ago there was not really film festivals, but you know, hanging out in Paris and places like that and stuff, there were little alleyways and they had festivals that were going on, and the language was a broad scope. It didn't matter as far as the language, it was a film festival, and just in some little back alley. And for me personally, it's kind of was a vehicle to be able to get where we are today and to be in a place in Astoria, Oregon. It says we're still here, and we have footprints of, you know, Lewis and Clark and York and people of that nature that have been part of that. And to be able to actually put those footprints into some of the films that we do, I think it really connects people to what we're all about and what we want to know. I think anybody that goes, you know, knows about the film festival, as I said earlier, as far as what we look at as independent films, and as far as our sensitivity about human rights and things of that nature, that people approach me. All the avenues are open. And for me personally, once again, is the idea of traveling around and being able to look at different avenues as far as securing it. And I have a number of friends, you know, that are working with me and stuff, and I kind of toss it out to them. I'm not the final person, because they may see something that I didn't see. So I'm not perfection. That's not going to work with me as far as making an assessment. My door is always open. And we're also, in the last couple of years, we've done pop-ups. And they're usually in the fall, in the winter months and stuff, and to do it locally. And we're the longest running film festival on the Oregon coast. In every little town, Newport, wherever you look out on the coast, has a small theater there. And so what we do is approach them and find out what their audience, what they would like. And we go in that direction as far as being able to get the independent film. And we typically do it, you know, in the late fall and the winter and stuff, where people that are locally, they can walk to it or just drive there, versus people come from Seattle or Portland for the festival in September or October. And so to be able to have that out there for our people, our staff and everything, it's really exciting, because we also are able to touch bases with people that don't normally get access to independent films. And so it's a lot of fun. You know, I just really enjoy it, being able to get it out there and stuff and get people, okay, yeah, I never heard about that. Yeah. Whenever we have the opportunity to be able to do it, and we do a jazz festival, what goes on and stuff. And a lot of times they kind of cross back and forth to be able to get it out there, because, you know, music is so much part of history. And to be able to connect the two, it's just really, you know, very gratifying for people overall to be able to do that. Because, you know, we're a small community, you know, 10,000 people, 5,000 people, you know, in Warrington and stuff like that. And I think to be able to open those doors, and we've also worked with the college, the community college and stuff, as far as being able to pop up there when they have a specific area they want to be able to do, or we present it. Because, you know, it's, you know, we have, you know, places like Fort Stevens, things of that nature. There's so much history in there to be able to do that. So we just try to, when the opportunity presents itself, we'll do that. Because we even, was it the Father's Day in Tillamook, the Air Museum there and stuff. And so I approached them. But there were some aspects of it that they really hadn't really touched. And to be able to go and speak to people and lecture about it. And then people are like, oh, wow, I didn't know about that. And so to be able to do it, the film festival is the vehicle to be able to do it. Yeah, excited. I've done a number of films about my background. A lot of it, as far as in Oregon history, was York, the African-American member of the Lewis and Clark Expedition. And the first film we did was, I call it the, you know, Hollywood Shuffle sort of thing. We did is about just half hour. And we were able to interview people all over the area. And actually, we did one in Vancouver, Washington. And when they name the school there after York, it was the first school to be able to name for York's name. Then we also did one with the Descendants. And so this was, it was 05 when we did that. And they had all the descendants of the 33 members of the Lewis and Clark Expedition. And they all came here. And so we shot it was about a 30-minute doc on that, which were available to the people who had come to, you know, Astoria to be part of that. And so to pull that all together. And then we did a CD with Danny Glover. Anybody knowing Danny Glover, he's always been into historical perspectives, things like that. And to be able to work with him and to be able to put these sort of things out there. So, yes, we've done a number of films and stuff, and we keep going. We're working on a few more now and stuff to be, you know, because like I said, for me, it's personally, it's very exciting to be able to do it and get the word out there. So it's a lot of fun. And I always, like I said, with the York perspective, is one of the, we're doing right now, working with a group of doing a folk opera on York, and which is going to be premiered in October. And if they go online and look at York Opera and stuff, it's there. It's a whole, it's not part of the film festival, but I've been in a consulting perspective on that. back in 04, we got a full page interview with Le Monde newspaper in Paris, York. And it's like, you know, my friends at the, as far as the poets here and stuff, they said, what? You know, how many people are going to know, okay, let me get my Le Monde newspaper. Oh, wow, that's York. And so have them interview me about that and what we were doing with the festival and things of that nature as far as getting the word out there. It's just really kind of incredible because, like I said, it's, you know, we're here and it's international on a broad scope for me personally to be able to get the information out even beyond the fact of just film festival, because I lecture all over the country when the opportunity presents itself. And it's like, even with my personal, I'm an Oregonian, but a lot of times people say, well, where are you born? Well, I tell them I was born in Birmingham, Alabama. And all of a sudden people say, what the heck is that? That's your homework. And so what they do is look it up. Birmingham, Alabama. Birmingham, Alabama. It was the most bomb place, the racial thing anywhere in the country. And that's why they called it Birmingham. And it was, people say, well, that's cute. No, I didn't make that up. That's just a history, a historical footprint and stuff like that. So those sort of issues or, you know, avenues to me are fascinating to be able to put it out, because people, once again, they look at it. And I taught classes up in 2011 in Portland State, and there were, you know, the average age there is about, you know, maybe in their late 20s and stuff. And there were things I presented as far as to them, that, and they were angry to the point, why didn't we know about this? And once again, Ron, that's your homework. It's just little things like that. I keep going back. The film festival, a lot of times, is the vehicle to be able to get people. But the fact to go around lecturing, I love it. I think it's just really incredible to be able to leave that sort of footprint. I learned about my history. I was starting in my mid-20s and stuff. And I lived in Europe for a number of years and stuff. And so the fact when I got back and started looking at my own history, what it came down to, I realized or found out that in 1930 in Alabama, that my family had been, members of my family had been murdered and lynched. And so I didn't know anything about that. You know, once again, it's not like you have family events and that's what you celebrate. It was like, and people would come to me who I shared it with, which is not a lot of people, and ask me, was I angry about that? Well, no, I was motivated to be able to get that history out there as far as for other people when they realize the thing. And I had it was at Portland State, and a friend of mine, she was at the bedside of her great aunt, and all of a sudden she saw this tattoo on her arm. And she realized that she was a survivor of the Holocaust. And she didn't know that until, you know, her aunt was on her deathbed. And so once again, it just opened the door. She was not angry. She was just motivated, like, oh, my God. And as we know, if you have that sort of history, it's not like you're walking around with a T-shirt or a hat telling them people about that. But for her to be able to know that, and she, you know, it kind of boosted her as far as finding out other people's history and also as far as keeping a long line with her own family history. So those sort of things are really impressive to me. And my late wife, we had a tour company and stuff, and we would take people as far as doing Europe and all this other stuff going around. And it was always so fascinating because even today, when people come here, you have somebody who lives in the area and to do the tours with some of the cruise ships that come in and stuff. It was great because we would go to places, whether it's North Africa or, you know, or Norway, the people that were locally and stuff, not that other people weren't, you know, qualified. It's just so empowering to be able to hear people. Yeah, my uncle used to do this, or my aunt was that, or my father. I think it's, you know, it's just really, it's a contributing factor, element for people to be able to have the personal link to it and stuff. And like I said, living outside of the United States, because it was during the time frame when things historically were happening here, and I was not here when they murdered Martin Luther King or Bobby Kennedy and stuff like that, and coming back here to this country and stuff and realize, because people always do the thing, well, step back and look at the country and see what you can see. I'm an American, I'm a Yankee, however you want to look at it, but I had no idea other than the fact of what I could get in Europe and stuff to be knowledgeable of what was happening. And it just was, you know, I saw from a different perspective, because what the people who were living here at the time and what they experienced, it was totally different than what I'm seeing in a French paper, you know, like, whoa, because, like I said, you know, they were onto it. But like I said, we're talking, it wasn't, you know, social media was hadn't quite gotten there yet. So you're kind of limited as far as the accessibility, as far as time-wise is what's happening. But it still motivates me to the day, you know, to be able to look at different perspectives. Because once my family, because like I said, I was only 9 months old when they took me living here, is like they stopped going down south to see our relatives and we started going to Canada. And so it was just, you know, to see that as a 12-year-old and stuff, all of a sudden you're seeing places that you can't, no, Ron, don't go there. That's for white people. And you got to go on for black people. And you're 12 years old. What the heck is that all about? You know, so it just, to be able to do that. And I'm saying, you know, other areas weren't immune to that, but it was a lesson that I learned at a very early age. And like I say, it still radiates, you know, within my spiritual soul to be able to keep going with it and stuff like that. But I just, you know, the fact of having that sort of history is, it helps me. You know, like, oh, because like I say, it's a spiritual link that I have and stuff. And I don't, everybody doesn't have it, but going right around is to the film festival to be able to do it and put the information out there and stuff. So teaching at Portland State and stuff, to be able to have students there. And it was actually black film history, black exploitation films that we did. As they were angry about the fact they didn't know about, they picked up on the music more so, this different lines as far as from the cultural perspective and stuff that they didn't have any clue. And, you know, these are, so my students were working on their master's degree and stuff like that, and they're going to get out in the real world and not knowing that this was an element or a factor as far as how we got to where we are today. And then to look at it and to make an assessment of, you know, from a cultural perspective and a historical perspective, here we are. And so they, that sort of little niche they hadn't really known about because it was suppressed. And it's just no different, because I come up with the York syndrome, where people don't want, they suppress it. Because nobody knew. I'm lecturing, you know, at University of Virginia and stuff like that, you know, in the panels I'm sitting on. And it's the idea that people don't even know that because it was suppressed. Because like I said, once again, as I stated earlier, as far as York, here's this guy, African-American slave, you know, and I was using the analogy, it's like going to the moon and coming back and working at McDonald's because he was out there and people thought that he was the leader of the expedition. But they didn't tell you that in school and stuff. And so, and growing up in, you know, Lewis and Clark's backyard and stuff, it just like, it was it. I mean, as a 12-year-old, we're doing things with the Boy Scouts about Lewis and Clark, little acting things or whatever it is. And they're dressing me. I said, okay, you're going to be married with a Lewis. I said, well, no, it's this black guy's. And they said, well, you don't want to be him. He's a slave. Bam. So that was it. And I didn't hook up again until 1999, you know, as far as knowing, you know, what it was, because that's what they tell me. He's just a slave, and you don't want to be a slave. So the fact of what he did and what his contributions were, and then interviewing a lot of the indigenous tribes along the trails, what came down to is the fact that we thought he was the leader. And I never heard that. And today you can go in the, I can go into situations and ask people, you know, do you know this guy in New York? Da-da-da-da-da-da. But they don't have any of a clue. But there's enough information out there now that people, that doors opening to be able to see. And like I say, it's our history. It's not just African-American history. It's history. And to be able to have accessibility to that and stuff, it's just a broad scope of who, well, we'll become or who we have been or however to look at it. Because it doesn't matter if you're a B or a Z generation, the fact that it does help to be able to know that we're about. Because why would you want to deny somebody or deny your own history and stuff? And like I said, we've known it time and time again as far as indigenous tribes here, because one of the conversations I had back there, saying I had to correct people with the idea 1811, well, as far as the generation here, as far as people coming here, and say, there's the oldest, you know, culture, da, da, da. I said, no, there was indigenous people here before that. And so they had to edit it. And we know that there were elements or facts, different time frames. Lewis and Clark may not have made it if it wasn't for the indigenous tribes here that assisted them, even just getting across this little creek out here they call the Columbia. One of the little side notes that I've been tossing to people in the last few years and stuff, as far as the idea of cowboys And so Emancipation Proclamation, slavery is over and everything. So all the African-American men were going to Texas and that area and stuff, be, you know, cattle handlers. But when they got African-Americans there, the cattle handlers became cowboys, because a quarter of the, most of the, you know, the cowboys there, they didn't look like Roy Rogers, because it was, you know, as far as the Mexican, Spanish and all this stuff. But the idea, you became a cowboy because you were black. And people looked at me, and they do their homework and come back and say, wow. So those little flashes, to be able to put those out. We've always been local, 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 but still, again, we get people from all over the country to come here. And there's so many writers and filmmakers and talented people around here that have, you know, lived this. They've seen how Astoria has developed over the years as far as, you know, the galleries and things of that nature. And, you know, they have a co-op store that's around here and stuff. It's, you know, to promote them at the same time they're promoting us, because everybody that's a sponsor, because people can come on board and be sponsors. They can be listed on our website as up all, you know, year round, and to be able to be there to help promote it. So, like, whatever they want to do, we're open for it and keep going. So, for it's a different things to be able to tell people from a historical perspective, because people don't understand Fort Stevens and the connection with the Buffalo Soldier. And I just toss those things out because people just don't know it. If one person there gets it, they tell somebody else. For me, that's a modest success. If people have, you know, short films, things like that, you know, to come to the festival and get a sense of where, what we, the profile we have, there are so many stories even just here that as far as people not knowing, you know, it's Vampira, and she, you know, was a local person, and we did a whole festival sort of thing with her. Her aunt came here and stuff, and we interviewed her and did the whole thing. And at Xanadu, we did a little sort of costume thing. And understand who she is, because like I said, she's local, local, local. I mean, you got Kindergarten Cop, you got the Goonies and stuff. How come we can't have Vampira? You know, she's local, you know, and her history is, like I said, it was incredible to be able to do that. So I tell people, yeah, look at your real people right here and stuff. It's great. As far as being in that story, the community is very, very supportive. People, you know, as far as coming to the events, if they want to be able to donate and stuff, we're nonprofit, 100%. And so that's one of the ways to be able to get it, because the realistic point is the fact we've been around for this our 18th year, and to be able to do it, it's just, there's been some tight things as far as for us being able to get funding here and there, but it has not frustrated us. We just keep going. I think anybody that wants to be able to support, they can go, you know, to our website, and also, you know, as far as the film festival and stuff, or they can contact me and stuff and be able to do it, because we'll take whatever we can. The Oregon film industry, they've always supported us as far as getting the word out. So we're always open for assistance and stuff like that. We're all on the same team, and we keep it going.
Thanks for listening to Beach Grassroots, a monthly podcast highlighting nonprofits of the North Oregon and South Washington coastal region. You can find out more about the Astoria International Film Festival at AstoriaInternationalFilmFestival.com. Beach Grassroots is produced at the studios of KMUN in Astoria, Oregon, by me, Emily Horde. This production is a collaboration with the Astoria Co-op's Change for Community program. You can find out more about Change for Community and the organizations it supports at astoria.coop. Beach Grassroots airs the second Thursday of every month on KMUN and can be found wherever you find podcasts. Find out how to listen to KMUN in your area at kmun.org.